Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone in the state of Louisiana and outside Louisiana. Be careful on those streets. I know everybody's driving, either working, sales, or going to work, leaving work. Some people going to work after 5 o'clock, you know, till midnight.
And night shift.
We appreciate all those people. You can listen to our podcast, you know, driving at 5 o'clock today on or, you know, later tonight. Be sure to share it with someone. But we got a great lineup today. Our first guest is Bill DeLon, who they call Wild Bill. And he's a legendary baseball coach, especially from the youth side, pre-high school to high school, summer ball in the Gonzales area, coached many great players. Jason Williams went to LSU. Andy Sheets was a great player at LSU, was around Ben Sheets. He pitched in the Olympics and the MLB. Reed Brignac, who went to the Tampa Bay Devil Rays for a long time, was in the major leagues. You can go on and on. Wild Bill's the man. Everybody knows him in Gonzales, Prairieville, and he's such a great guy and loves the game. Was the editor of the Reveille of LSU in the 1970s, like 70, 71, when he was a student.
That was some good LSU football teams then.
Great, great teams. And we're also going to talk about the national championships. We think it's just a great topic. LSU just won it in 2020, and we're going to talk about who has the most national championships, the top 10 or 15 colleges. I think it's pretty interesting that we'll talk about it, Jace, and me and you'll knock it around. We got our mailbag, and we're going to go ahead and our interview with Bill DeLon. We're going to go ahead and get to that right now.
It's time for the Human Touch.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Lee Brekeen. Glad to have everybody as listeners, and we've got a great guest today, a longtime journalist, writer, used to be the editor for the Sports Reveille with LSU back in the early 70s, has been writing for Ascension Magazine the last few years and with Mike Strom, and also many years with many different papers and magazines over the years, and coached a lot of great baseball players over the years that became MLB guys and became college baseball players, people like Brady Babin, Reed Brignac, Jason Williams. You might remember Jason Williams at LSU, played at Santa Mall. Reed Brignac, MLB guy, big-time player. Andy Sheets is a guy that I think Bill knows. You know, I coached him a little bit probably, but Bill DeLon is on the show today. Glad to have you, Bill.
Well, thanks for having me. And if you can put up with these coughing fits and this, these yellow flowers have got me, Lee, but I'll do my best to get through.
The birds and the bees, huh, and the flowers.
Oh, man. They got me, yep.
Bill, you've been writing for many years. Tell everybody about your days at LSU with the Sports Reveille. You used to be the editor back in the early 70s.
I was a sports editor, and, of course, my favorite trip, I got to go on one away trip. And I got to go to the Notre Dame game, the infamous 3-0 defensive struggle out there in 1971. And it was just a bucket list item for me at the age of 19 years old. You know, it was just amazing for me to go into that stadium and watch LSU compete at that level.
Did you meet Newt Rockne by chance?
No.
But I'm just testing you. I know you got a call. I'm just testing you a little bit.
They talk, when you get up there, they talk about the magic in the air and the leprechauns and touchdown Jesus and we're number one, Moses and all that. And you feel like, gosh, Rockne's got to be right around the corner here somewhere.
Right. You know, I just missed Joe Theismann over the summer at Destin, Florida. We actually visited him with a friend. I was drinking a beverage there in Destin over the summer. But Bill, missed Theismann like 10 minutes, you know, the legendary quarterback, Joe Theismann, the Redskins. And, you know, maybe this year I'll be able to talk to him a little bit. And I heard he loves Florida, loves the South. And, but yeah, Notre Dame's rich history. And then you went to a lot of great games during that time. Burt Jones was a quarterback. And
oh, yeah.
Tommy Casanova was on the team.
And you just mentioned two guys in your last breath there. Theismann got Notre Dame down. It was 0-0 for the entire game. And Theismann drove them down to about the 10-yard line on third and goal. he hit Casanova right between the numbers in the end zone. And one of the greatest defensive backs LSU has ever known, you know, couldn't hang on for the interception. If there had been any justice in the world, it would have ended 0-0, but they came out and kicked a field goal and beat LSU. And then Bert Jones, whom you just mentioned, came out firing the next year, and LSU had a big win at home, 28-6, in a revenge game.
Unbelievable fans back in the day, huh, Bill? I mean, LSU.
Not that
LSU's not loud today, but I remember going to LSU games as a kid in 1974, 77, 79. It was just, you know, it's like the building was shaking, you know. But now it's not as loud for some. It's more people, but there's some loud games. You know, obviously Alabama game every year and maybe Florida, Georgia, but every game, LSU could have been playing Idaho State back in the 70s, and it was loud, right? You agree with that?
I agree, and it's hard to describe to my grandchildren these days that they could start that Gold Tigers before the game throughout the parking lots, and it was haunting. It was eerie, you know, and we were used to it, but it had to intimidate the visiting team and their fans.
Also, and you know, remember Mike the Tiger used to come out and also always would come right by the visiting team.
And always roar.
And it would shake up the opponent a little bit. They don't do that anymore. But Mike does real well, eats better than probably me and Bill and Jace. They feed him pretty good. You know, some of the you've got a nickname in Ascension Parish. When they see Bill DeLon, they call you Wild Bill, and you were talking about your grandfather came up with a nickname for you when you were little.
Well, I was probably running amok in his general store, which out of which he fed everybody and the entire neighborhood. And when people would come in and say, "Who's that little boy?" he'd go, "Well, that's Wild Bill from Prairieville." And the rhyme scheme was there, and the name just stuck with me throughout the years.
Bill, you're a baseball fanatic and you love the game. I love baseball. You coached a lot of baseball players over the years, pre-high school, high school, and a lot of these guys went on to do well, and not all of them made the major leagues, but a lot of great kids from the Ascension Parish area. We had mentioned earlier Reed Brignac that went straight out of high school to the pros, and you know, a lot of Jason Williams had a great career at LSU from Santa Mall. You know, the Sheets brothers, you know, Andy Sheets, his brother, you know, the Ben Sheets, you know, pitched in the Olympics and went to ULM. It's hard to say. It used to be Northeast, but now ULM Warhawks. But talk about your days as a coach. You wrote this whole time as a writer while you were coaching, but tell everybody what is so special about baseball to you?
Well, baseball, I grew up in baseball, playing at the Prairieville Ballpark with J.B. Landry. We thought that was Yankee Stadium at the time. We always had a game in the pasture, and he would come get a team from Baton Rouge or somebody to come down there and play us, and it really didn't matter whether you were 9 or 15. You know, you were out there playing ball, and that's where it really the love for the game started. Fortunately, I graduated from LSU in journalism, and I was offered a job at a private school where I thought I'd go work as a coach and maybe come back to my writing. And, of course, 30-something years ago later, I was still coaching. I was fortunate to have some great players come through Santa Maria High School during my regime.
Who sticks out to you as far as the most natural baseball player that you've ever coached?
Well, the best athlete was Kim Batiste. He was a quarterback on the football team. He was a starting guard on the basketball team. Lee, the ball just jumped off his bat. You could tell when he hit it. And he was scouted prominently by the Houston Astros at that time. We worked him out, got him to a point where Ralph Gore was the scout, the old Roadrunner from Grambling University. You know, almost won a batting title with Atlanta, and he loved Kim, and we set up a 60-yard dash for him to bring the vice president down. And, of course, we made it about 58 and a half, 59 yards. Kim could run, but let's get him a little extra boost here. And when they saw him run and hit and throw, they said, "We're going to draft him." The vice president told me, "Look, you know, you've been a great help to us. Here's my card. When he plays, you'll sit behind home plate." I said, "Now listen, I come to Houston. I'm gonna take advantage of this. Lee, the pick before him in the draft, Philadelphia Phillies taking.
They took him.
Now, I don't get up to Philadelphia very often. I don't get up to Philadelphia, Mississippi, except to play Dancing Rabbit or when we play State, you know?
Right.
But he didn't manage to play in a NLCS. He was knocked in a winning run in the 10th inning. Played in a World Series, which even a lot of great players can't say they did. And he was just an amazing player all the way around. In fact, he did it things so easily. At one time, I had to discipline him for maybe hot dogging a little bit. So I put him in center field. He made three of the greatest catches I've ever seen in my coaching career. So,
and Kim, that shows you. And at one time, he was one of the best players in the baseball league. I mean, he had a 2-3 year run where he was one of the best players in the major leagues. What a great – and I love the story about his quarterback days. People don't remember him as a football player.
Oh, he could – you know, he could run that option that we were running at Santa, but a lot of times it wasn't an option. It was just Kim Keep because he was so dangerous with the football.
And then Jason Williams, you know, not a tall kid, stocky kid, had a great career at LSU from Santa Mar, was also at Santa Mar, played football.
Correct. And Jason came up during the time I had Kim and Andy Sheets. Mm. Andy was a sophomore. And, of course, people always ask me to compare. I said, well, if I had to have one play in the hole, I would take Kim Batiste with that rifle arm he had and a great range. For one game, a complete game, I would take Andy Sheets for consistency. But Andy went to Tulane. So got a surprisingly attractive scholarship offer from Tulane for a baseball player. And he played 1 year at Tulane. He played every inning, every play. He got to compete in the old Metro League against South Carolina, Florida State. He had good games against some Mike Martin teams. And then when they fired the coach, he got a release to go to, and he, you know, he wanted to go to LSU despite the offers from the other schools. Mm-hmm. So he got the benefit of, you know, like playing at a junior college, but he was playing major college, if that makes any sense.
Right.
And then he went on to LSU and he was on that 91 College World Series championship team.
Tall kid, 6'2", with an arm and good guy.
Oh. And grew up from a junior year. Ron Polk had called me, whom I just respected so much. This was before Skip really got going, you got to remember.
Right, Mississippi State's coach.
Correct, and he said, I need a D1 shortstop, and Andy was playing shortstop. But he was, you know, he was 5'10", 160. I said, damn, I can play second base for you as a freshman. And next year, you know, he's 6 feet and growing and 180 and hit third for me. And I called Polk back and I said, Coach, I got a D1 shortstop. He said, I hate you honest coaches. I wish you'd have lied to me, you know.
Bill, you know what's funny? Well, it's not funny to Mississippi State people. But, you know, I remember that's when I started watching college baseball with Ben McDonald and that crew and Skip. You know, when Ron Polk had Palmeiro and, you know, Brantley and Will Clark, they were the best program in the country. And then here comes Skip. And Skip slides in and takes all that future exposure and just took over. And the state people have to still be sick because Skip wins 5 national championships and basically retires Ron Polk, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a shame Will Clark and him, they didn't win a national championship. That's incredible.
That is amazing. If you watch that Thunder and Lightning documentary, it was just crazy how things went for them in the World Series that year because they were loaded.
What do you think of the national championship before we let you go at LSU football and Joe Burrow? Now he's making commercials. He's going to be the first pick of the draft. And what do you think of the LSU season? Are you still excited? Still happy?
Oh yeah. We're still on cloud 9 like everyone else. And, you know, Burrow had probably the most incredible year of any college quarterback ever. I hope the people are willing and the fans are willing to give Miles Brennan a shot. Because, you know, he's only human. What Burrow did was alien. I mean, that was incredible.
Right.
So I think, I think with a little work, you know, if he gets back with the receivers, I see Chase is going to wear number 7. You can always look for him. And the other, some of the other guys coming back, I don't know if you can ever duplicate that kind of year. I mean, wins. But Bill, I think they can come close.
One more thing, going back to baseball. What is your opinion of the 2020 LSU baseball team? It seems like it's been 20 years since they've won a championship. 3 years ago, Florida, they had a chance. They were playing a national championship game, and Walker gets hurt, Eric Walker, and he can't start, and then they win. They beat LSU. But what do you think of this team in 2020? They look like the hitting's kind of stuck in the mud a little bit right now.
A little bit. Now, C's talking about going more to the opposite field, which I like. You don't have to hit a home run every time up, especially if you're hitting 2-something. I mean, try going the other way. The young man the other night, he put in at shortstop, Collier Cranford.
Yeah, from Zachary High School.
Yeah, take advantage of your situation, you know, your opportunities, and he hit the ball the opposite way and got a big hit. So maybe that'll wake some of the other guys up.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how they're going to hit in the SEC against SEC pitchers. This is the first year I don't see a dominant hitter. I mean, Cabrera could be, but he's kind of like hot a week and cold 2 weeks, hot a week, cold 3 weeks. But they need 4 hitters, right, Bill, in the 9 slots. They need 4 guys hitting, and right now it's really about Belelso, Cade, and Cabrera is carrying them, really.
Correct, and those guys – Mathis and Cabrera, to me, are having at least decent at-bats.
Yeah.
And the bottom of the order has got – you can't just get up there and wave it. I mean, I'm belaboring the obvious here, but you have to either bunt or hit the ball the other way or make a productive out, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Have a good at-bat.
Past teams probably win that Baylor game because they had Baylor 4-0 going into the 6th inning. And the pitching staff was dominant, and LSU looks like they're at that 2 or 4 run team, you know, where they, and you got to get those 6 runs a game, you know, today in SEC. So I hope they can pull it around, and they got too many good pitchers not to make Omaha, too many great arms. But Bill, thank you for joining us, man. And I'm an honored to bring you on, and I know I'll run into you a lot in Baton Rouge and the Gonzales area. I think you know everybody. In Prairieville, Gonzales. Everybody knows you. I know that.
Well, I'm sure I left some people out that helped enhance my career. And, I could go on and on about the players that I had and the guys I taught and didn't coach, like Reed and Brady, that were in my classes. And I watched them come up through Little League and everything else. It's just amazing to be able to go to a big-time ball game and see those guys participate.
Bill, before you leave, tell everybody where you're writing now just so you can promote what you're doing now.
I am writing for Ascension Magazine. They are on sale for free.
That's
you
good.
Can pick up one. Are you waiting for your car to get fixed? Or we used to have a really great outlet at some of the restaurants in here. You can pick it up while you're waiting in line. I'm the one that Mike Strong makes look like a buffoon every with his graphic arts, and that's not that difficult to do. But we have a good time with it, and it's something I enjoy doing.
Well, Bill DeLon, look, man, get some rest. You were a big-time relief pitcher today with this cold. I know you were fighting it. You did it, man. You did a good job.
Oh, I got through it. I got my hot tea and honey on the side, my apple cider vinegar, and I even had something stronger if we needed it.
All right, Bill, thank you. That was Bill DeLon. Glad that we had Wild Bill DeLon on today. We'll see you in just a minute.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, Girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Libra Keen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today. It's time for the hot take.
Welcome back, everyone. Again, be careful on the streets if you're driving or if you're at home on your computer. I know if you don't feel like watching TV and you've run out of things to watch, turn us on. Turn on the podcast. Listen to Louisiana Stuff with the Sports Scouting Report with me, Libra Keen, and Jace Lejeune, our producer. We're going to go ahead and jump into our main topic today, which I think people would enjoy, is national championships. The most championships won. Currently, we're going to talk about the top teams and some interesting facts. LSU now has four, and that is very, very important to talk about. And we're going to tell you why, because there are some great programs that you might think have been greater than LSU over the last 70 years. But when we point out how many national championships some of these programs have, hitting number four for LSU was pivotal to being up there with some of the most iconic programs ever. And it's really interesting that back in the 20s and 30s, Jace, and I've always looked at this in the 40s, you had like the Ivy League dominated college football.
Yeah.
Especially the 20s and pre-20s.
Right. And in the 40s, people forget Army was a powerhouse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just Minnesota won a couple national championships. Some of the teams were dominating in the 30s or 40s, you might not think. Were ever really great programs, but they were back in that time period.
Well, this is what's so crazy, and I think people would love to hear this driving. You think of all the champion programs, you know, Miami Hurricanes, right? The U. They haven't won a national championship since 2001.
Right.
They have five. LSU has four. I mean, you know, Miami's talked about as like the most iconic, you know, and they were phenomenal in the 90s, okay? I watched all these championship teams. They put more players in the NFL in a five-year period than anybody I've ever seen, even over LSU and Alabama, with Jimmy Johnson, Howard Snellenberger, Coach right. Erickson, Michael Irvin, all these great players, the Blades brothers, Russell Maryland, Warren Sapp. I mean, it was just name after name after name. You know, they're running backs. They still got running backs in the league that are phenomenal.
Yeah, and their last national championship team, they were talking about as maybe that was the greatest team of all time because of all the NFL players that came out of that 2001 Miami Hurricanes team.
So I grew up as a boy watching these teams, Jace. Mm-hmm. Miami hasn't won one since 2001. Okay, Nebraska was another powerhouse when I was growing up. Tom Osborne. Right. Mike Rozier, Irving Fryer, Turner Gill.
Tommy Frazier.
Tom Freeman. Tom Raffman was fullback with the 49ers. They haven't won a national championship since 1997.
I was born. That was a good
year.
That's
the year you were born. They only have five national championships. Okay, now this is one of the most iconic programs ever under Tom Osborne. And back in the 80s, I mean, they were phenomenal. Like, nobody could beat them. They were the strongest team. They were the Alabama for a five-year period under Tom Osborne.
They're like the first program to really have a strength program, and that's what really helped them set apart.
In Texas, take a guess. You know already, but I guess you can act like. Take a guess. How many national champions does the great Texas University have?
Four? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. LSU's tied with Texas now with four. UT, you know, the biggest state, you know, in the United States, maybe what, California might be the other one, Florida maybe.
Right.
Texas only has four national champions. I say only, LSU now has four. Florida, how many national championships do you think Florida would have? The Gators?
Three.
Yep. And they've had Danny Werfel, Tim Tebow, Emmitt Smith,
Steve Spurrier,
John L. Williams, right. Spurrier, the great Urban Meyer, right? Just three.
Yeah. LSU's got two of them. Yeah.
When's the last time Florida won it all? 2008.
Yeah. Right. Tebow was the quarterback.
Florida State, Bobby Bowden, Deion Sanders, all the great quarterbacks. Chris Winkie, I think they had three Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, right?
Right.
Yeah. Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward, yep.
Chris Winkie.
Mm-hmm.
They've only got three.
And Jameis Winston, yep.
Three.
Yeah.
Last championship, 2013.
Yep, with Jameis Winston and Jimbo Fisher, yep.
And this, I'm going to go back to Who leads? This will blow people's
minds. Well, if Florida State had a kicker, they could have won more.
Well, here's what's funny. They would have had another loss this past year if ULM doesn't miss the extra point.
Yeah, right.
At Florida State, yeah. But so Princeton has the most national championships. They claim 28. Now, this started in 1869.
Well, probably when the only two teams were playing in the 1800s.
But let's face it, 1950 they won it. We're getting in the Billy Cannon era, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 1950 is kind of when it went, quing, went down. And Yale has 27. Yale. So get it? Ivy League.
They're the founders of modern college football.
Their last national championship was 1927. Okay. Now, Penn, Ivy League, Penn, they've got 7. Mm-hmm. But, hey, the last one was in 1924.
Right. Look at Harvard.
Harvard's got 7. Their last one was 1919. So if you're like in 1875 to 1925, it's the Ivy League. And then there's one more, like you said, Minnesota, who just had a couple of winning seasons with a great coach. I mean, they've been down forever. They have 7 national championships. People wouldn't really realize that, right?
Right.
1960 was their last, but look, they haven't really done much in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. They've had 2 or 3 winning seasons in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it seems like before World War II, Minnesota really got it going on.
So, who's been the truly dominant program? We all know this one. Speaking of since the 60s.
I guess like the poll era when they had the AP poll.
Alabama.
Yep.
17. So, Alabama won their first one, 1925. That's prior to Paul Bear Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
And they've won them, you know, 79, 92, 2009, 2011, 2012, 2015, 2017. Now, no one's won that many in the last 20 years. That's also what's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
No one's even close. Michigan has 11. What's interesting is their last national championship was 1997.
And that was a weird year because there was no national. It was the first year before the national championship, the BCS game. So it was actually shared between Michigan and Nebraska. So it was a weird year.
And Lloyd Carr was the head coach. People don't even remember Lloyd Carr.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
So Lloyd Carr's fired like 2 or 3 years after that. Notre Dame has 11. Now listen, we could talk about Newt Rockne, you know, the famous, yeah, you
touchdown,
know,
Jesus.
Touchdown, everything.
Air poor season.
I mean, we're talking about the most known college football team since than anybody, right? They haven't won a national championship since 1988. I was in high school. And that was Tony Rice at quarterback, and Lou Holtz was the head coach.
Holtz was the head coach, yep.
Man, if I'm an
Tim
Irish.
Tim Brown was playing.
Tim Brown, right, yeah. And Rocket Ismail.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
yeah.
If I was a Notre Dame fan, and look, there are millions of Notre Dame fans in the country. There's a lot in Louisiana. You know, it's the Catholic school everybody wants to go through. It used to be. But not to win a national championship since 1988. Now, they played Alabama in a national championship game and got blown off the field.
And they went to a semifinal game and got blown out by Clemson. So
it hadn't been working out.
Kind of relevant, but every time they get in the big stage, they just can't be able to beat those top programs.
So USC has 11. You talk about iconic, man. Charles White, and, you know, Marcus Allen and
right.
Paul McDonald and Pat Hayden and John Robinson, who's now at LSU, which is crazy.
Yeah, most recently with guys like Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, Carson Palmer.
Ronnie Lott.
Right, Ronnie Lott.
You know, yep. Jack Del Rio was there, now pro coach.
Anthony Munoz played there.
Many. We could talk for hundreds and hundreds of NFL players. 2004 was the last national championship for USC, and that was, you know, Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Pete leaves, and it stops. He's with Seattle ever since, and I'm wondering how much longer Pete will coach. He's in his 70s. I don't know how much longer he'll do it.
Well, he was really good for his for 70-something years old.
I wonder if he'll come back to USC.
I don't think so.
Finish out.
I don't think so.
This
we'll
old
see.
Boy has a losing season this year. Job's going to be open.
I think he's got, I mean, what he's done with the Seahawks and make them a contender, I think he's got his job there.
Set. Ohio State has 8. 2014, they won one in 2002.
That was the first college football playoff national championship. Right.
And then Oklahoma has seven. Oklahoma, man, Barry Switzer and all their great coaches over the years. You know, Bosworth during my time growing up, Brian Bosworth was Billy a great player.
Sims.
Billy Sims, yeah. Marcus Dupree. We can go on and on about the great players that came out of Oklahoma. Leroy Solomon, all those great linemen that came out.
Yeah.
They have seven. Their last one, it's really hard to believe, 2000.
Yeah, right, Bob Stoops just got there.
20 years ago. Now, LSU did cost them a national championship and beat them for LSU's first under Saban. And that was a close game. They had Jason White at quarterback.
Right.
They had an All-American D-tackle that went to the Bears. Yeah. You know, they were loaded with talent, that team, Oklahoma. But 20 years. And then LSU just blew Oklahoma off the field
this year.
They've
been in the playoffs the last couple of years, but they haven't been able to win the playoff game.
Tennessee has six. 1998, their last national championship with T. Martin.
Yep.
Phillip Fulmer. Michigan State has six, but we're talking about a team that was great in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Their last national championship was 1966. Cal Berkeley, shockingly, they have five, all in the 30s, in the 1930s. Cornell, another Ivy League team, has five. Illinois, believe it or not, has five. Dick Buckus played there, but it was prior to him. Miami, Florida, we talked about. Georgia Tech has four. Now, people forget Georgia Tech won it in 1990.
Yeah.
Nobody would really remember that. No. Heck, I had a hard time remembering that.
Like you ask people who won more national championships, Florida State or Georgia Tech, they would tell you Florida State. But based off history, Georgia Tech's won more.
Hey, you don't throw these plaques away. Mm-hmm. They might get a little dust on them, but they're still, you know, the teams existed and they did win the championships. The only thing is they weren't on TV like they are today with all these great trophies. And I don't even know if they had ceremonies on TV in the, 40s, 50s?
Maybe.
Maybe like, the Heisman Trophy.
Maybe they would show, like, Army, Navy, like, on national TV.
And this brings us to Clemson. Now, if you're kind of new to college ball the last 5 years, you're just thinking Clemson's been great forever.
No, they have not.
1981, okay, they won their championship. Danny Ford had a receiver named Percy Tuttle. They had a great team. They didn't win another one until 2016. But they did play in four national championships. So between Alabama and Clemson, they have dominated the playoff system.
Yeah, they've been 1A and 1B.
5 years.
Last 5 years, yep.
But LSU is that third school. They've won national championships in 2003, 2007, and 2019. If you look since 2000, LSU's got more national championships outside of Alabama than any other college. Even though it's been a drought, it was a drought for the fans.
Yeah.
Think about that, Jace.
Yeah, like over the last 20 years, I mean, who's won more than one national championship? Look at the last 20 years.
Alabama, LSU.
You can kind of look at Florida's won two in the 2000s.
Ohio State won one.
Ohio State won one. Florida State won one. I mean, USC won a couple, of course. They won two or three. But, yeah, I mean, LSU's been right up there. You look at the last 20 years, and it's been hard to win multiple national championships. Auburn's won, like, one time.
You know what's shocking? Penn State only has two.
Yeah.
Like, as long as Joe Paterno was there and how Franco Harris and, you know, Jack Ham and all these great linebackers they put out, and all these great John Cappelletti, all these great players, just two. And Penn State, their last national championship was 1986. I was a freshman
in high
school.
And they beat Miami that year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
You know, Arkansas's got one. Hey, they do have one.
Yeah.
A&M has three, but the last one was 1939. Ole Miss, believe it or not, Ole Miss, in the 60s and 50s, they were really good. Only problem is Oklahoma, Texas, and LSU were really good in the 50s. Ole Miss, they've got three national championships.
Oh, wait, that 1964 Arkansas team, there were two players on that team that were pretty popular. Football.
Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones.
Jimmy
and,
Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson, yep.
Oh, you had me on that one.
Yep.
And we don't have, I don't have that in front of me, but.
Right.
But, yeah, they and he hires Jerry Jones. I mean, Jerry Jones hires Jimmy Johnson and fires his ex-teammate as the coach. Tell me that's business.
Yeah, right.
But Jimmy Johnson helped the Cowboys win three Super Bowls. And I will always say this. We'll end it with this. If Jimmy Johnson stayed at Miami in college. Would Howard Snellenberger started? Jimmy Johnson, I think, would have won more national championships at Miami than Nick Saban won at Alabama. Jimmy Johnson dominated college football for a five-year period. I mean, he left on top of the world with a 90% winning percentage. He had, you know, Ed Orgeron was his D-line coach.
That's right. Yep.
His whole staff is a who's who. You know, Coach Erickson was on that staff. Who ended up becoming the coach.
Yeah, became the head coach.
Which Davis was on that staff. And there
he
was
became
several,
the head coach later on.
And the O-line coach they had was one of the greatest ever and just retired, was at Ole Miss a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But Miami, I think that really stung. And they've never really overcome that because even though Erickson won a national championship, Butch Davis just couldn't get it done. Mm-hmm. And they had one national championship won by another coach that came from Oklahoma State.
Coker. Dwayne Coker.
He won one.
Yeah.
But guess who ends his job? LSU and Matt Flynn in the Peach Bowl.
That's right.
Embarrasses them, right?
And they try to fight before the game. Yeah.
Well, they fire Coker. Mm-hmm. Coker won one national championship. Well, Coker was the one that recruited Barry Sanders to Oklahoma State.
Yep.
But Miami's never been the same since Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. They just haven't been able to have a 4-3-2-year run, and they've got talent. I mean, Fort Lauderdale, Miami is some of the most talent you'll see, speed and linemen in the whole country.
I mean, in the 90s, just the state of Florida alone dominated. You had Florida State, Miami, they're all national championship contenders, the top three teams, most likely. So, yeah, it's kind of hard that they're kind of struggling, those, besides Florida. I mean, they're both Miami and Florida State are kind of struggling a little bit.
So for LSU to get in the top seven of all time, they need two more national championships. And then they would be tied with four of the top programs of all time. Well, Oklahoma is one of them, but I wouldn't say Penn is, or Minnesota or Harvard, but Ohio State's in there with eight. USC, you know, LSU would have to go on a run and win three or four in the next 10 years to get up there with USC and Michigan, Alabama, you know, Notre Dame.
So really the whole point that we're trying to come across is that LSU is just close. That much close to being in that conversation with, like, the blue bloods of college
and
football.
If you take the Ivy League schools out, all this happened in the 30s and 20s. LSU is one of the top seven programs for national championships.
Yep.
I mean, look, it's hard to, like, sit here and say Yale's been, like, the dominant program in my life, right? I've never seen a Yale game, and I'm a football fanatic. Mm-hmm. Or Penn. Nothing, you know, no, I mean, they got good programs, but they're not on TV, you know, right? Princeton, they're not on TV. They're just.
I do give credit because those programs, Yale, are the ones that started.
They started
college football.
And a lot of these coaches started there, which background.
Amos Stagg and, right, those names. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's pretty interesting. And we just had 150th year college football, so we can go back and kind of look at the history a little bit.
Princeton's got 28 that they claim. So that'll be it. That is our national championship talk with the top national champions, the most by colleges. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back on the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Make sure to check out our website at lafootballmagazine.com for all the latest recruiting information statewide. This week, check out all of our recruiting interviews with all the latest prospects and coaches. Also, make sure to check out our website to stay up to date with our TV show each week. That website, again, is LAFootballMagazine.com. It's time for Lee's Mailbag.
Welcome back, everyone. Be careful on the roads or at home on your computer. You know, get bored with the TV, as I always say. You know, listen to us. We've got a great show. We're going to go ahead and talk. We've got some mailbag. This is the mailbag segment where people write to us. And before Jace gets into the questions for me, if you have anything you want to bring to the table for the podcast, if you have a question, you have something interesting, a topic we need to talk about, something for us to answer, please email us at lbrekeen@aol.com or go to lafootballmagazine.com and email us. Just give us your first name and what city you're from. We'd love to put it on the show.
You can also message us on our Twitter and Facebook page as well, if y'all want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, we want to get the fans involved, and don't be shy. I mean, I don't care who you are. You could be 10 years old or 85 years old. Just send in a question. We'd love to talk about it.
Yeah, we definitely would love to get y'all guys involved. But two guys wrote in, I guess, like this week, asking some questions. And these are some topics that are really new. Peter from Shreveport, this is the first question. Lee, he wants to know, what are your thoughts on Byron Dawson leaving Evangel and taking a Tulane assistant coaching job?
I think it was time for Byron Dawson. I've known Byron since he was 16 years old. Byron was on the cover of Louisiana Football Magazine when I first got started in the first 3 or 4 years of the magazine, and I had a chance to go see Byron Dawson play. And Chase, that's when they had tons of great talent. You know, Abram Booty and Josh Booty had just finished. And then you had Brent Rawls, who went to Oklahoma, quarterback. Mm-hmm. You had Chase Pittman, the brother of the late Cole Pittman, and went to Texas. So Byron Dawson was there with Cole Pittman, Chase Pittman, and Stevie Lee. They all signed. Stevie Lee went to Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole D-line weighed 280 to 310, and they were all 6'2 to 6'6. Now, Byron was only 6'6" and a half, all right?
Yeah.
But he was a phenomenal nose guard to me, so he wasn't being recruited heavily. I do take a little bit of credit for this. We put him on the magazine. There weren't any internet sites, right? No social media at the time. Mm-hmm. This is the late 90s, and he's on the cover, and people fell in love with him. He's a good guy. He became a coach. He's a Christian guy. He's got a great family. He married his wife from Baton Rouge. He coached at Redemptoris a little bit with Coach Mistretta.
Okay.
Because his wife's from Baton Rouge. Yeah, right. Then he moved back to Shreveport. He played at Evangel Christian, coached at Evangel ever since. And I thought he turned down, I talked to Byron, he turned down a lot of college jobs mm-hmm. over the years. Yeah. Turned down ULM of Monroe in the past and several other ones because his love for Evangel Christian. You know, he played there, he loved the school, and I think he's going to be a phenomenal D-line coach. And let me tell you something right now, Tulane got the best young D-line coach in America from a developmental side and a recruiting side. He's going to recruit to another level for Tulane. And if you're a good D lineman in Louisiana and you're not LSU, watch out. Lock your doors because he's coming to get your son to sign with Tulane. Byron Dawson, I can see him being at LSU one day, being the D line coach, and I can see it happening.
I can definitely see that.
Sooner than later, meaning a couple of years maybe at Tulane. Mm-hmm. And I think the Tigers are going to come calling.
I can definitely see that later on.
But Byron is a special human being, and like I said, it goes back to when he was a teenager on the cover of our magazine, and he's just made a lot. He had to work hard to get to where he's at, even as an athlete, because, again, when you're only 6 foot tall, 320 pounds, he had to really work hard every play and show his aggression, show his effort. And he got a scholarship on his effort and his toughness. And he started at LSU, played some bowl games, and did a great job. So happy for Byron Dawson.
Okay, we're going to go with another question. Ben from Baton Rouge, he wants to know, what are your thoughts on Kelvin Shepherd being named as the director of player personnel for his own LSU Tigers?
Kelvin Shepherd was one of my favorite players, Jace, at LSU. He's from Stone Mountain Stevenson High School, right around Atlanta. And he was one of the great linebackers with Perry Riley, his teammate from Stone Mountain Stevenson. And think about this. Two linebackers from the same high school starts 3 years together. They both play in the NFL. Perry Riley's still in the NFL. And Kelvin just retired from the NFL after mm-hmm. 18, okay? He played, what, 8 or 9 years?
Yeah.
Kelvin Shepherd was a smart hire for two reasons. One, he's an LSU alumnus. He's a smart guy. He's going to be a great coach. Two, he's from Georgia. So Kirby Smart is not going to like this hire at all because Kelvin Shepherd is going to be able to go to Atlanta. Maybe not, I don't think he can physically go as a recruiter, mm-hmm. but you can call.
Yeah.
And he knows all the coaches in Atlanta. And with LSU getting Eric Gilbert and BJ, the defensive end, and the linebacker they just got this past year, I mean, they've got Johnson, the quarterback out of Georgia. Jay Ward, mm-hmm. Kelvin Shepherd's going to help LSU get more players out of Georgia. Yeah. And just in that fact, that is just a huge hire.
Yeah, Georgia's got one of the top recruits just every year, it seems like. They're a great football state, and they can hit that state hard. That'll speak volumes for
LSU. And then Kelvin will move up to a position coach like Falk did 2 or 3 years from now. So he'll end up being a linebacker's coach mm-hmm. by just learning and being out there.
Right. Well, Lee, I think that's going to kind of wrap it up for us. What were your thoughts on today's show?
I enjoyed talking about the national championships. I enjoyed Bill DeLon. You know, the hot topics. We're going to have more different topics every week. It's a shorter show, but I think when you're driving, you just want to listen for 40 minutes. It's perfect for the drive. We will bring back some 1 hour, 1:15 shows. Sure. You know, as we get more guest-driven, but I think we've had a lot of good guests over the first 8 weeks. I'm proud of that. You've worked hard, I've worked hard, and I think we're going to build this show into something special. If you listen to the show, share it with your friends. Just keep it out there and keep sharing it with everybody. And our goal is just to have a great show and have information. And if you love information, you'll love the show because we can just keep bringing out history and we can stay with the times. And in the future, we'll do baseball talk more.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, let the season.
Yeah,
let the
season.
And basketball, the next show, we'll do more basketball talk.
Yeah, because, of course, March Madness is coming around the corner. So
next week, we'll talk about LSU football's preview next week.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, just tell people to go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. Be sure to pre-order a magazine we're working on right now for August. Every August, we put Louisiana Football Magazine out. It'll be our 24th year, okay, this year. I was 25 years old when I started. Not too much older than you, Jace, right now. So
right.
Maybe 3 years there. So
about 3 years. Right.
But, you know, this will be our 24th year. And, you know, most of the listeners' kids will be in it. If you start or play a lot for one of these high schools, make sure you email us, too. Don't assume we know who your kid is. Because what if the coach doesn't give us your son's name and he's a sophomore? Mm-hmm. And maybe I don't have him listed. Maybe he's an incoming sophomore, didn't even play last year. So if you have a son that didn't play last year on the varsity but's going to play this year, send us the information, and we can add it to the magazine, at least put the kid in the magazine for the preview. We're going to preview all 310 high schools and all 12 colleges like we do. We're going to have a recruiting section, and we're going to pick a story for North Magazine and South like we do every year. And it's going to be fun. I'm ready for prep football again. We've got, yeah. A couple of months maybe?
Yeah.
So practices start up now, right now. Some of them are going now.
They said a couple weeks from now they're going to start spring football. So we'll be here before you know it.
But we're going to keep growing the podcast, and be sure to check out our TV show locally in Baton Rouge on ETEL, Channel 4, Cox Channel 4, also CW, Channel 21 in Shreveport, Bossier, Natchitoches, in New Orleans, Lafayette under Cox 4, and Lake Charles, CBS.
Right, and for some reason, if you don't have any of those stations, we're going to put all the shows from this year on our website. So make sure you go visit our website, LAFootballMagazine.com. They'll be published next week.
A lot of great guests that they can still watch. It's not our show's not about the game and recapping the game. It's about bringing the recruits on and the coaches and legendary.
You go behind the scenes, tell the stories.
Yeah, you want to catch those. They don't have dates on these shows, but enjoyed it. And we're going to go ahead and hope everyone has a great weekend. We'll check you out next week.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.